Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. 23 after the hour. Thanks for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. And the one for my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. We're having a great visit with our new friend, Stephen Wallace. Steve is the founder and the president of Omanhi, say it for you, Steve.
Omanhini.
Omanhini. Omanhini Cocoa Bean Company in Ghana, Ghana and Milwaukee. I guess you can locate
right.
Both places.
Both places.
And Omanhini, OmanHeni.com, right?
Right. And it means paramount chief or paramount king.
Can we buy coffee from, cocoa from, and coffee?
Absolutely.
Chocolate,
from
that website?
Omanhini.com.
All right.
And we have some free shipping specials as well.
Good. Well, I'm sure my folks around here will be excited about that. So, all right. So, folks, Steve, if you're just tuning in, Steve was a tax attorney. He had a family. His family had a business. And in his late 20s, having already been to Ghana as a young man in school, he went back to start a chocolate company. What did you find? What kind of conditions did you find there? From a business standpoint in Ghana?
Well, when I went back professionally after being there as a student, it was the very tail end. It was still under a military dictatorship.
Right.
Still very much sort of planned and centralized economy. So you had huge government, what they call parastatal. So a state oil company and a state broadcasting company and a state cement company. And they were just beginning to sort of privatize these. So there was... It was as if people had read a textbook of how commerce or free enterprise was supposed to work, but it wasn't. No one grew up with role models of independent
right.
business people. So a lot of people told me, all I wanted to do was, work in some bureaucracy
right.
in
right.
government. And in fact, when I went back, 85% of the people worked for the government.
Right.
The other 15% were really
people farmers. Would be amazed how that's the model in more countries than people would realize all around the world.
It really is. And
yeah.
so they were just beginning to have an appetite for what happens when people begin to run their own businesses. But it was a bit of an imperfect understanding. I mean, I think you can have textbook learning on this,
right.
but unless you're doing it and you have some appetite for risk
mm-hmm.
and you're not afraid to fail.
And it wasn't part of the society. And you were trying to be entrepreneurial, and you can't be entrepreneurial if you're not prepared to fail. And they weren't used to that, were they?
They really weren't. And I can understand if you're a minister, you have a responsibility, a fiduciary duty to the state not to lose assets.
Right.
But I was sympathetic to that. But really, you can create enabling environments to help entrepreneurs. And as I said, there were just very few role models. You didn't see...
But there was also no chocolate companies, no chocolate stores, gourmet chocolate stores in Ghana. They made chocolate. They grew cocoa beans. But there were no outlets there, right?
No. I mean, when I went back, most of the retailing was little kiosks. There were no
right.
stores, and certainly no grocery stores, nothing like this. And people, because of the heat, it's close to 100 degrees and very
right.
humid. People just didn't eat chocolate. You couldn't store it. you didn't have
yeah.
reliable electricity
right.
or air conditioning, so it would
right.
melt. So no one had...
So they grew stuff people savored around the world, but they couldn't eat it themselves.
Yeah, isn't it ironic?
Yeah. So then what?
Exactly.
What kind of corruption did you run into?
Well, I came with so little financial resources, Jim, that engaging in that sort of corruption was out of the question.
It wasn't in your budget, was it?
It was not in the budget. It's also illegal. We should underscore
yeah.
it's illegal.
Yeah.
But I was adamant I didn't want to go that road.
Right.
So you were able to
be successful without that. So what
yeah.
what about now? You've got a globalization message here. Tell us about that.
Right. Well, I think globalization. The term globalization has changed meaning entirely in the last half century. The end of World War II, the Marshall Plan, where the United States rebuilt Europe. Let's call it deficit spending writ large, was
mm-hmm.
considered a wonderful thing. If we traded with Europe, if we rebuilt Europe, globalism and international trade was considered to be the antidote to militarism and fascism and expansionism, and it worked, and no
right.
one questioned it.
Right.
By 1999, the Seattle protests, the World Trade Organization, globalism had become shorthand for economic exploitation,
mm-hmm.
sort of a search to the bottom for the cheapest labor in the world, and I would take jobs from Alabama or Wisconsin and ship them overseas.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, let's go back to what Adam Smith and David Ricardo and the classical economists thought about international trade, and that was globalism is really specializations. Do what you do best, and you trade for the rest.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought if we could take the best of what the United States did, if we could take recipe development, and in my own state we have this paper making
and the efficiencies and efficient markets
and
efficient capital formation,
right, and intellectual property protection. And
right.
all these things that accounting expertise, legal expertise, recipe development expertise, packaging expertise,
mm-hmm.
tradecraft, we can combine that with cocoa beans, which I cannot grow in the continental U.S. The climate
right.
is just bad.
Right.
So let's try to put it together, create wonderful products that we can export to places like Japan.
Steve, I've got 20 seconds. Last
yeah.
thoughts. I'm going to have you back because I want you to talk some more about what's going on. But give us your parting thoughts on all that you've learned over there. I've only got about 20 seconds.
I think you know, it's, people are the same all over. They want success. They may not know how to get there. And the more we all work together and keep an open mind and sort of a generous heart, the generous spirit of how we can create wealth and transformation together, I think there's a world of possibility.
And you're not just talking about it, you're doing it. And our hats off to you, Stephen Wallace, ladies and gentlemen. We'll get him back another day.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.